Today, I offered the traditional Latin Mass the second week in a row, and I hadn't done it for a while, but I think I'm getting my legs back. But anyways, in the traditional calendar, they still maintain that Christ the King is celebrated the last weekend before All Saints and Holy Souls. We moved it, I think it's November 21st. We moved it toward the end of November. I can't recall the reason why. But the long tradition is when you offer the Christ the King, the Feast of Christ the King, in the traditional calendar, is that you pray what's called the act of consecration of the whole world or something like that. I don't have it in front of me, but you do, to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, right? And so I was saying to myself, hey, we should do that at all the Masses, right? There's another reason why I wanted to do it too. So we're going to do that after the St. Michael prayer at the end of Mass. We'll consecrate ourselves and the whole world to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Pretty cool. But there's a bigger reason why I wanted to do it now. You know, listen, I don't know about you, but I get these senses, and I can be wrong. I've been wrong many times. But I think something, I think we're heading to a watershed moment. I call it that. A watershed simply means, at least in the context I'm using it, it means that there's a turning point in his history. And we've been beat up. We've been talking about this all. Everybody knows. We've been beat up by tyrants. And I've been saying, and I think you agree with me too, is that the reason the tyrants moved in is because we've been weak. And we even said it's a lot like the Battle of Lepanto in 1571, which we just celebrated the 450th anniversary on October 7th. But they were weak and divided, so the enemy felt, well, okay, this is our time. Let's move in. I don't know about you, but I feel like that's what's been happening. But why do I think there's a watershed moment coming? Because I'm seeing, first of all, I think God is good and gracious, and he'll, you know, cast down the mighty from their thrones if we call out to him. And I think I'm seeing a people who are rising up, and also who are seeking to draw nearer to the Lord. And I want to talk about that today, because the other thing that's kind of cool that's happening is I felt like we should do another 54-day novena. Now, we just finished one, and people are like, Father, maybe that's too much. But and I just say, well, if that's where you're at, then that's fine. But I just feel that we're heading toward a watershed moment, not just prayer, but mortification. Okay, we know that mortification intensifies our prayer, also detaches us from the claim of any things that the world has on us over and above God. It's like training to become detached from those and become more attached to God. That's another huge element of what mortification is all about. So but here's the other good thing. Is while I thought about the 54 days, I found out that these the Blount fathers, their brothers, blood brothers, and their fathers, but they had the same idea for the same reason, that they want to get 54 days. So November 1st is All Saints Day. Count 54 days out, you're at Christmas Eve. That's pretty cool. So I'm going to do it with the Blount fathers. Now you can look that up, or you can contact me to find it. I'm going to try to get a post out this today, but I'm doing all these Masses, and then I got to go to Planned Parenthood. So we'll see how that goes. But anyway, that's what I'm doing. And I'm probably going to do the most severe or intense mortification I've ever done in my life. And you let the Holy Spirit tell you whatever you want to do. But for 54 days, that's what I'm doing. Okay? And because I think we have to pray whatever this watershed moment is going to be, I have to think we have to pray it in. And again, I could be wrong about this, but it just seems like the world, especially those who are faithful, are rising up. And again, we were weak and divided. What were we? Well, we had faith, and we kind of, you know, took an hour out and hoped the homily wasn't long, and you know what I'm saying? We kind of went through the motions. And that's why I'm saying I might have had an element of that in me, so I got to get rid of that. I got to get intense. I got to get close. And here's the other thing, too, is that it starts with the Feast of the Holy Souls, and All Saints. All Saints on Monday, Holy Souls on Tuesday. Which, by the way, there's no mass obligation on Monday because it's one of those things where it's next to the Sunday, so they dropped it. But you're welcome to join us for 7 o'clock mass on both those days here. Anyway, so Holy Souls, All Saints on Monday, Holy Souls on Tuesday. We know, too, that this is the month in which you could go to a cemetery and pray for the Holy Souls. It's like November 1st to November 8th, and gain what's called a plenary indulgence. Those who've been here long enough have heard a teaching, and I'm going to review it real quick in a sec here. But what is a plenary indulgence, and how do we get it? What is purgatory? But this month, for whatever reason, Pope Francis said, not just November 1st to the 8th, but the whole month of November, that indulgence is offered. All right, you follow me so far? We aren't made to go it alone. We need each other. We are in the church militant here, among the communion. We are the communion of saints. Church militant here, you and I, while we're alive here on earth. Purgatory, the church penitent, or suffering, right? Then heaven, the church triumphant. Okay, Doug and I just had a podcast, Susan Tassoni. Now, she's a wonderful lady. She wrote a book back in 2009. We had her in our parish to talk, I think it was 2011. But it was in that talk that I went, oh, we got to do this. But a little bit of her background, she was big in the corporate world. Then she ended up being like the assistant to Cardinal George in Chicago. And then she had this experience that called her to work at reviving this praying for the holy souls in purgatory with the saints. I brought along with me my grandma's prayer book. Isn't that cool? But inside of here are lots and lots of holy cards. So she had favorite saints. These were her battle buddies in the church triumphant, but she also had names in there of people that she prayed for. So she asked the saints to pray with her for the holy souls in purgatory, to shorten their time or to get them out all completely. Well, what is purgatory all about? Don't we just go to heaven? Think about this. I heard this story, and I think it's a good one. So Joe and Max were born around the same time, but they both died at the same time. Now, Joe was a womanizer, a drunkard, he lied, cheated, and stole all his life. But at his deathbed, he repented. They died at the same time. Now, Max, he lived his life totally to try to get as close as he could to God. Did the Ten Commandments, lived a virtuous life. I always been framing it lately. I just want you to be proud of me, Ava. He lived a life like that. He strove to be as close as he could possibly be to God throughout his life. So they both die at the same time. Should Joe and Max enter heaven at the same time? That's what purgatory is all about. See, now I don't know if Max will have a little bit of time, but I think he'll have less time, if not no time, in purgatory. Because why? Because he yearned to be close to God while he was alive. He had that kind of relationship. He yearned to do it just right for God, so that Abba, you'll be proud of me. He yearned. Now think, purgatory, some people say, oh, there's flames and you're, you know, on fire and all. No, 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 no. It is painful, though. It's very painful. Why? Because you're in purgatory, and there's Max and everybody else over there, and you can't bridge that gap for yourself. When you're in purgatory, you can't get indulgences for yourself. You got to rely on your battle buddies to do it for you. So hopefully you establish some nice battle buddies, right? But what is going on there? Where's the pain for Joe? He's yearning to be in heaven. He's longing. You see, he didn't have this yearning and longing before. Oh no, I'll get drunk, I'll womanize, I'll lie, cheat, and steal, and yeah, maybe I'll punch the clock and go to church, if that. But he regretted all that at his deathbed. But he didn't work at that yearning. So purgatory is that time for developing that in us, that longing, that yearning to want to be as close to God. Do you see? Do you understand that? There's many ways to try to describe it, but I think that's one of the best ways to try to describe it. So, we can help them. We can help the Joes of the world. And actually, Susan Tassoni wrote a book called Praying with the Saints for the Holy Souls of Purgatory, and I ended up putting a lot of her teaching in the first book I ever wrote, the Church Militant Field Manual, Special Forces Training for the Life in Christ. There's a whole section on this, on how to pray with the saints for the holy souls in purgatory and what it does for us. I actually, while it's a part of this book, I actually made this journal for just that reason. So it's just on that. You don't need all these, you don't need these things. You can look it up on the internet, but I'm telling you what I'm gonna do is that I've been kind of in and out and praying for the holy souls in purgatories, and I've been doing this since Susan Tassoni was around here 10 years ago. So I've got thousands in what I call my holy alliance. See, what if today I said, okay, St. Francis of Assisi, will you pray with me for my mom who passed on? And we always assume they're in purgatory, okay, unless she gets canonized officially. But we always assume they're in purgatory. So will you pray with me, St. Francis, as I gain a plenary indulgence for my mom? Now, what happened there? I engaged the relationship with St. Francis. See, we have that free will thing. I can ignore St. Francis, or I can be like that spoiled brat child that says, oh, St. Francis has to pray for me because I'm entitled. Wrong. Okay? You have to engage the relationship. You have to turn it on, right? So I did. And so now he's in my holy alliance. He's my battle buddy. He's got my six. And now I'm praying for mom, or I could say, and let's say for my neighbor, Sam. Okay, now I pray for my neighbor, Sam, and he's like, thank you. So you see what happened? Click, the relationship turned on. So now he's my battle buddy. He's got my six. So I began today with a force of one. I ended the day as a force of three. A saint brought in, a holy soul brought in. Do you see how that works? So I'm a force of three now. Now tomorrow I do another saint and another holy soul. That's two more. I'm a force of five. I think I'm in the thousands. Having done this day after day, you can only get one indulgence per day. I'm going to quickly tell you how to get an indulgence. Just a quick review, okay? You can look this up online if you wanted to, too, but here it is. So there's five conditions, real quick. You have to be in a state of grace. You have to receive confession within 20 days. That means you went sometime with 20 days before you tried for the indulgence and or 20 days after. So it's a 40-day span there, actually. You have to receive Eucharistic communion the day you want the indulgence. That's why a lot of people went to daily Mass. That's why Grandma went to daily Mass, okay? Because she qualified for the indulgence that day then. You have to pray for the Pope's intentions. You don't necessarily have to know what those are at that time. You can just say, for the Pope's intentions, pray on Our Father and the Hail Mary, and that qualifies. Then finally, have no attachment to sin, even venial. So what does that mean? Well, a person can have repetitive sin in their life, and they go to confession, and they're truly sorry, and they really want forgiveness, and they are forgiven. But they come out of the confessional going, yeah, but I'm probably going to do it again. They're attached to that sin. They're attached because they're just giving up. That sin is controlling my life. I'm just giving up. So that would disqualify a person if they're in that mold. We got to get to a point with, even with repetitive sin, where we go, no mas, I beat it. I'm never doing that again. Then you're qualified. Now this is the reason too why people do more than one plenary indulgence. Like for my mom, I've probably done about a few hundred. Well, why, Father Rick? Because one should be enough. Because plenary indulgence brings you all the way to heaven. Well, but yeah, I don't know if I did it in a perfect state of readiness for it, a qualification for it. So then what I might have done for her then, because here's the requirements for a partial indulgence, is do it in a state of grace and then just have the intention of wanting to gain an indulgence. So I might have shortened the time. I don't know if I did the full. That's why we repeat these. Are you following me so far, right? Okay, so, and the reason I'm doing this is because, again, tomorrow is All Saints, Tuesday is All Souls, but also because we're heading into a period where we're facing a potential, and I'm a hopeful person, a watershed moment, a turning point toward God, and I want to pray this baby in. So I want to be developing and doing what grandparents and great-grandparents and everybody before them already knew. Us not so much. Let's do this. Mortification. Let's build our holy alliance, right? Now, I'm going to end with this. There's lots of ways, like I said, the cemetery, but you got to wait for November to do that one. There's other ways you can gain an indulgence in the church. There's actually a book on it. You can find it online these days. But there's four ways that you can gain an indulgence on any day. I call those a big four for that reason. The first one is do adoration for at least a half hour. Now, do you know why our grandparents and great-grandparents rarely drove by a church without doing a chapel visit? This is why. You know, again, it's considered adoration when you come in the church and the Blessed Sacrament is in the tabernacle. It doesn't have to be exposed. Okay, so they were gaining indulgences, right? So that's the first one, a half hour. This one's probably the most accessible. Devoutly reading sacred scripture for at least 30 minutes. Now, you could do that at home, okay? So that's number two. Number three is devoutly performing the Stations of the Cross, right? But you can't, like, draw stations on your home and do it. One qualification for this is you have to do it at approved Stations of the Cross. These are approved. The ones you drew on your wall at home are not approved, all right? All right? And then finally, reciting the rosary. And you could do it by yourself if you're in a church, but if you're not in a church, you should do it with another family member. That's the qualification they give with that. Then you can do it anywhere. But you can't do it anywhere by yourself is the qualification that they set. Those four, big four, are the way that you can gain a plenary indulgence at any time. Now, what I did in here is I actually, I'm going to do it with this one. I actually set this up so you could, okay, there's the date, there's the holy soul, there's the saint. There's the box check of the four ways I chose, one of the four ways, whether I gained a plenary indulgence. Then I added this one. Now that I'm getting mightier and mightier, okay, it's Father Rick and 1,000 holy souls and 1,000 saints, I'm good to go to pray for someone who has fallen away from the faith. And I recommend the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. There's actually, St. Faustina was told there's a special prayer, a secret weapon prayer you can pray for those who have fallen away from the faith. Ready for it? You know what it is? It's not the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, that's what Jesus said, but it is part of it. Well, blood and water which gush forth for the heart of souls, have mercy. How does it go? I just blew it out of it. Well, let's do it together. Oh, blood and water which gush forth from the heart of Jesus, as a fountain of mercy for us, I trust in you. Please excuse this 63-year-old brain, okay? I probably prayed the chaplet a million times. Anyway, that's a secret weapon prayer, okay? But we come to understand this. We're developing ourselves in the art of spiritual warfare, of spiritual increase, of growing in holiness, right? And so, if you would, and remember now we're going to consecrate ourselves after Mass. We're going to the King. He's our King. I love the Lord, not with part of my heart, with part of my soul, with part of my mind, with part of my strength. With all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. I'm all in. It's the greatest commandment, Jesus said. And then to use that all-in-ness to help your neighbor. Treat your neighbor as you would yourself. There's no commandment greater than that. You're making Jesus your King. Finally, detaching yourself of all the things that have royal priority in your life, that you've made royalty. Golfing and shopping or whatever, you know. Whatever we're doing. Packers, no. That one's okay. But you can see. So, let Jesus talk to you, let the Holy Spirit talk to you. We start tomorrow. And whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to do, you go ahead and do it. But I believe that watershed moment is upon us. In the name of